Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. So I had this funny idea. Start out the episodes just welcoming each of our Commander Shepherds individually, but then I could just say, like, Commander Shepherd, welcome. Welcome, Commander Shepherd. Welcome, Commander Shepherd. And Commander Shepherd. Shepherd. Welcome. That would just take forever, Rex. Though. And then, well, I don't think anyone roleplays as Rex in the game, though. Everybody's just their own Commander Shepherd, right?
And then we would just have... No, but there's the Shepherd, Rex.
Right. But then we would just have me saying Commander Shepherd like thousands of times. But welcome to all of our Commander Shepherds. This is the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is the podcast where we talk about all things Mass Effect and get into the deep lore. But this episode is going to be different because instead of getting into the deep lore, we're getting into the deep mods, because we are talking about the best mods to load into the game right now if you are playing Legendary Edition, because the game has been out for a while now. We're in the fall. This game launched months ago, and you've probably already played through, you know, Legendary Edition once or twice or maybe 10 times, depending on, you know, what kind of player you are, and you might be looking for something new. And with my good buddy here, N7 the Legend, I am also here as well, Tom, or Robots, we are your hosts. And with N7 Legend, with his PC version of the game, jump into the game, looking at the mods, it seemed like a really good opportunity for us to be talking about mods, because we are both PC players. So why don't we talk about mods? Also, later on this episode, because of next week being our patron episode, which we normally have all of our patrons coming on talking about stuff, it's also a holiday. We've got Halloween here in the US, and I know this is spreading out to the rest of the world. There are other countries now celebrating Halloween a little bit more than we do in the United States of America, but we figured we'd give people the option to join us this week instead of next week. So on the second half of the episode, we will be transitioning into a little kind of mini patron episode where we will be inviting in some of our patrons to join us to have a little mini patron chat. But for the first half of this episode, we're talking about mods. And N7, how are you doing, buddy? How's that PC holding up?
Oh, it's going really well. And actually, you remember I had told you I thought the only singular issue left may have been the power supply. Uh-huh. Well, it turns out, I love patting myself on the back here, but I was right. It was the power supply. And the crazy part is, when I took the one out, so the model was supposed to come with a 650 watt, right? Mm-hmm. This is the refurbished PC that I got. Mm-hmm. Well, when I took the one out, it was a 750 watt.
Really?
So 100 watts more than supposed to be. But because of that, the manufacturer only shipped me a 650 watt one. And so you would think, if my PC is having these power delivery issues with it crashing under full load, then 100 watts fewer might not help. Unless the power supply was faulty.
Right.
Which it totally was.
Right.
Because 650 watts does just fine.
Yeah. I know PCs well enough. Knowing the graphics card you have, the CPU you have, those are the two main power hogs. And then the rest of the system, 650 sounds like it's enough. It sounds like it's probably enough by about 100 watts. It sounds like you're probably fine.
Yeah. Mathematically should be enough, and it's doing fine. Only thing is, it's considerably loud, and props to Skytech, the manufacturer's support, because I told them what happened and they're sending me a 750 watt replacement.
Nice.
Because they're like, hey, you know, yours came with a 750 watt, even if that's not the model, you know, specific. Mm-hmm. So here's the 750 watt. We're going to send you one.
Nice. Okay. So now you're getting everything that you needed. It took a little bit of extra work, but now you're having a banging PC with all the components that you should have. The thing's going to work awesome. And it just took a little bit extra longer, but you got the refurb PC that you should have had with some new components in it for way cheaper than it should have cost. It just was kind of a pain in the butt. But hey, there you go. So now you're set up to load in whatever mods you want into this thing, kick the game's butt into super high gear. So let's dig in. I know you've been eyeing these mods. You sent me a list of some of the ones that you've been looking at. I've got them up on my screen. I'm looking at them too. Where do we start? Because, I mean, we all know Legendary Edition looks pretty good, but it's still based on an engine that is over 10 years old. Like the yeah. roots of this game are basically Xbox 360 era tech.
Yeah, and with that being said, you know, people have likely played through the series dozens of times. And even though Legendary Edition kind of revamped some things, it didn't really add content. So mm-hmm. a lot of these things are not new to experienced veteran players. And so if you've played the game that much, you might feel the desire to change things up and enter Mass Effect Legendary Edition mods. Well, then, you know, this doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to break the game. Like, we're not going to introduce Thomas the Tank Engine as a Reaper. Although that would be amazing.
We could. I mean, we could.
I would love it.
We could. But, okay, but these are not the ones we're going to talk about on this episode. Although,
right.
if you want to go find those, more power to you.
Yes, and then let me know because I'm interested. But no, these mods are going to be more about. Yes, like and then
that's and then what it probably
destroys
like, right?
the child. Yeah,
right, right.
So evil.
So instead of the wow, you just get choo-choo. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go on.
So these are going to really improve the quality and the ease of gameplay. And the first one that I think a lot of players would be interested to know about would be the unlimited sprint and duration mods that are out there. Mass Effect has a lot of running in between objective points, mm-hmm. not just Mass Effect 1, but 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. And this can really slow down some gameplay. Some people like the slow, you know, change of pace in between missions. Some people don't. For those of you who wish that Shepard didn't get super windy,
yes.
after a 5-second jog.
Oh my god, he is one of the most badass freaking soldiers in the galaxy. Why can he not jog the length of, I mean, not even a football field, like a basketball court?
Not even that. Like, he can't even do one suicide on the court.
Like, none of it. He's like, he jogs from like the front of my house to the back of my house. And he's like, all right, okay. Like,
give me like 10 seconds.
Okay, hold on, guys. This is too much. He goes up a flight of stairs. He's like, okay, whoa, I'm winded. Like, he's worse than like, you know, like, I don't know, some of the professors that worked at my,
he's like
college. Yeah.
He's like Fat Thor.
He's way worse than, at least Fat Thor could still fight Thanos. You know,
that's true.
Come on.
Yeah, he in Mass Effect 3, there's a lore justification that he may have gotten soft around the edges. In Mass Effect 1 and 2, there is no such justification.
No justification.
And it's kind
at all.
Of ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous. Dude should be able to sprint like dude should be able to run a 4K in like record time, let alone, you know, getting. Yeah, no, this. Yeah, absolutely. This mod is, I don't know. This is kind of a must, in my opinion. For somebody who doesn't want to wait for, like, you know, running between scenes, I just want to go to the next scene. I just want to get to the good bits. Like, this is not a game where I just want to, like, wait for stuff. I just want to get to the good bits. Just move me to the act from action to action, from dialogue to dialogue. Just let me get from one thing to the next. I just want to get through it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I'm a different kind of player. You know, I'm a completionist, but I want to be able to run.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of ridiculous. I can't.
Yeah. Because you're not missing anything. That's my opinion, is that by running through the hallways, you're not skipping anything. You're still moving. You know what I'm saying? You're still transitioning through the corridors. Right. You're still seeing everything as you go. And it's not like the run is that much faster than the walk, but at least it feels like you're moving through stuff.
Yeah. The walk is like a brisk, like saunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the wind is at your back slightly.
There's no urgency whatsoever, which is kind of funny, but we digress. We move on. That mod is available if any of you are interested in downloading it. It's a very simple ini file change, I believe, so just download it. It's quite easy. I highly recommend using Nexus mods for that. They make everything easy about it. All of these mods, you should really be using Nexus mods and downloading them for. Mm-hmm. And before we go any further, if you're looking for kind of a one-stop shop of how to organize your mods, definitely download the ME3 Tweaks Mod Manager. Mm-hmm. That is, it's mainly just a framework for once you download that and you set that up for your proper file pathway. And by the way, the proper file pathway is not going to be the same as the files where you keep your game. Just let the installation wizard do its thing. And then when you download mods, you just go to your downloads folder, drag the mod file onto ME3 Tweaks, and it's done. Like, you import, you enable, that's it. Voila.
Right, right.
And so again, modding really isn't difficult.
And again, so people know, I'm putting this up on the screen, it's called Unlimited Sprint and Boost Duration. So if you're looking for that by name, Unlimited Sprint and Boost Duration, if you search, just search Unlimited Sprint, it'll show up in Nexus Mod Manager. Or Nexus yeah. Mods, the website.
And another one of the top ones on Nexus Mods, and rightfully so, are the community patches for Mass Effect 1 and 3 in Legendary Edition. I'm not quite sure why I haven't found a Mass Effect 2 community patch yet. They might still be working on it. A lot of these modders are, again, volunteers and not getting paid for this stuff. But these community patches are just general bug fixes. You know, it's kind of a necessity. It doesn't change anything about the game, doesn't add any content, doesn't take away any content. It just fixes bugs. It's quite similar to the unofficial Fallout and Skyrim patches, as I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, so just an example here, under the Normandy section, it says things like, bugs fixed. Fix Normandy music not playing after mission debriefs. Caden will not refer to the player as a biotic if they are not. You know, things like that that can kind of, if you're a stickler for the details, this is stuff that makes it not break your brain when Caden says you're a biotic and you go, wait, I'm not a biotic. That doesn't make any sense. This kind of stuff is stuff that should have probably been patched out had the developer taken the time, but it wasn't. So these are the kinds of people who, like you, this stuff bugs, and they took the time to go back in and fix this stuff.
It bugs them.
It bugs. I see what you did there. So there's one for one and one for three and not one for two. But hey, that's what we got so far. Maybe by the time you download these, there'll be one for two.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking of Mass Effect 2, there is a great mod that people can download called the Mass Effect 2 One Probe for All Resources. This one's kind of self-explanatory. If you've played Mass Effect 2 before, then you know how tedious the grinding can be for gathering all the resources you will need. So going from planet to planet, then stripping planets bare of all material resources, dooming entire populations because their worlds don't have anything anymore, just so that you can put some shiny new armor on the Normandy. Anyway, if you're not really missing that and you just want to gather all the resources you need for the upgrades, then this mod aims to fix that. You know, it includes all of the resources you would need for every upgrade in one planet location. So you just go to that planet, you fire the one probe, you get all the resources.
Yeah, just it strip mines, you know, entire planets of everything they have. So, you know, you become the Reaper.
You become the ultimate capitalist.
You
have acquired all of the capital.
That's
congratulations. You win the game. That's what happens in real life too.
Congratulations.
You just win the game.
You become the monster.
So fine. This one's kind of cheating. You know, this one is kind of a cheat, although there's an argument to be made that it's a quality of life improvement. Even though it's like definitely a cheat. But I don't.
Okay. You're not hedging your bets anymore. You're just like, no, right. This is a,
I get it. Like, I get it why someone would want to download this one, because it's like, really? Like, you're going to make me go to all these planets and just scan and scan and scan and mine and mine and mine. And it's just, come on.
This is okay, like, so this is a design element from a time where it was like they were putting extra stuff in the game for when they were like, okay, people want a thing they can do in the game that's just like this relaxing thing you can do when you don't want to do all the like fighting and other stuff. When you can just like spend some time just going to the planets and doing other things, but it's also pretty crucial to doing other stuff in the game too. So it like doesn't fit the balance, you know?
No, it doesn't. And this, in my opinion, was a poor replacement for the Mass Effect 1 Uncharted Worlds missions, because it's not just for resources that you might scan planets, but you're also scanning these planets to find potential side missions. But in my opinion, all of the side missions in Mass Effect 2 are so inconsequential, or at least they feel that way, that it's like, why even bother? Whereas the side missions in Mass Effect 1, you genuinely felt like you were going to an uncharted world and actually finding something worth finding. So, yeah, I don't have any moral quandary with this mod. It is definitely a cheat. But if that's your thing, go for it, download it, speed up your Mass Effect 2 playthrough.
Yeah, I also don't have a problem with if you've already played through a game and there are mechanical pieces of the game that are simply mechanical and you're playing through the game again, mostly for story, to speed up the mechanical aspects of the game. Like, I don't think that's a problem at all. Even when it comes to combat, I don't think that there's really a problem, especially if you're playing through the story. If you want a new story version of the game and you want to romance a different character, you want a different, you know, playthrough, if you want to, you know, be, you know, make different decisions and see what plays out with that stuff, then you're going to want to speed through some of the mechanics, some of the combat, even it, like, you're not, it's not cheating. You're just trying to get to the parts that you want to see. So there's no harm in doing that, because you've already played through those parts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely. You know, if you've played this game 50 fucking times, like, then, like, don't let anyone grief you because you don't want to go and mine every single planet again.
Right. It would be like
the in-theme time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in Nixada in chat says, like, in Mass Effect 3, you can choose how much talking happens. There's the three different options for style of gameplay. Or putting it on easy because you don't want the combat to take up most of your time. You want to be able to just kind of shoot everybody, get through the fighting to get to the next scene. It's the same kind of thing, you know? You know, but sometimes you want to play through on, you know, absolute hardest difficulty because you want the challenge and you want the be able to say, like, I absolutely beat the game on the hardest difficulty. Like, there's different reasons you approach a game in a different way for different goals, so play it for that goal. Totally makes sense.
Yeah, speaking of which, there is a Mass Effect trilogy save editor, so if you want the achievement of having completed it on Insanity, but you're a little baby and you don't actually want to do it, then you can go and edit your save. No, I'm kidding. I don't endorse that. Don't do that. But it's possible. But that's one of my least favorite mods, because it's that one really is nothing except a cheat. You can use it to debug a bug save if you have one, but it's, I mean, the power that you would wield is incredible. So my favorite one, however, is one called the Black Market License mod. This one's only for Mass Effect 1 in Legendary Edition. It's one of my personal favorites. Actually, it is my personal favorite of the Mass Effect mods. So, Mass Effect 1 had certain weapons and armor in the game that players literally couldn't get no matter what they did, unless they were acquired through console commands. That's the only way that you could get these items.
It's like they were put into the game but never actually put into the game.
My understanding is that they were hidden behind loot tables. They were made to be incredibly hard to get, but they just, something about some loot table just didn't allow them to spawn or something like that. You'd think they would have fixed that with Legendary Edition. Mm-hmm. But regardless, they never made it into the game. Not in stores, not in, you know, like, containers or anywhere on the ground. You couldn't get them unless you spawned them through console commands. And so these aren't like tester items. You know, this isn't like god tier level test sword, you know, to just smite something in one hit. And it's not cheat gear either. It's just really high level good stuff. So this mod makes those weapons and armor as accessible as black market items, which can be purchased through the requisitions officer on the Normandy. But first, you have to buy the license, as you do with every other manufacturer license in Mass Effect 1. So it includes equipment from Batarian State Arms, Cerberus Skunk Works, Hain Kadar Shadow Works, and Jormungand Technology. Those are all manufacturers that really probably don't sound familiar to any Mass Effect 1 player because they weren't in the game to start with. There's also previously hidden weapon, ammo, and armor mods that you don't buy, but they will be found in the world in crates, containers, boxes, you name it, and on dead bad guys. So adds a lot of stuff that I think should have been in the game. It was meant to be in the game, but just didn't make it in for some reason.
Huh. Yeah. That's weird. It's like, it's almost like they realized it didn't get it in and then they just didn't fix it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there were some bugs with it. I'm not sure. I haven't played with that one too much yet. If I encounter any bugs, I'll let everyone know. But that one brings us to our next mod, which is called the Expanded Galaxy mod. This one's super cool. It is somewhat of a total overhaul of Mass Effect 3. So this one's specifically for Mass Effect 3 and Legendary Edition. This mod adds customization options for the Normandy. It adds new weapons that were not in the game previously, and adds new casual outfits for your squad mates. And you can sprint through the Normandy's scanner between the war room and the bridge, which I know is probably a big thing for you, Tom, wanting to speed up gameplay, right?
Yep, yep.
And in the original Mass Effect 3, by the way, that was used as a loading screen. That's what that was. It was a loading screen.
Yeah.
But in Legendary Edition, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't need to be a loading screen. So you can just sprint through it this time. Instead of having to walk, stop, wait for it to scan you, keep going.
Yeah. Oh man, look at these guns. So, I'm looking at the images.
Yeah, that it's so cool. So the expanded galaxy mod for Mass Effect 3, it adds some serious quality of life features. Some of them are new weapons. The Collector SMG, the Geth Spitfire, and the Gladius M57 are all new weapons that it adds. All of these can be found during gameplay, which is pretty cool. There's also some core gameplay quality of life fixes. For example, I'll just read a couple off. When launching a mission from the Normandy, the armor screen automatically allows selection along with the weapons and power as usual. During a combat mission, you can now press P or click the left trigger to port your arms, lower your weapon. And it's not the same as holstering it, but has a similar impact without having to save and reload.
So did you know that in Mass Effect 3, you couldn't put your gun, you couldn't holster your gun, right? Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Do you know why that was?
I don't know why that was.
In the original version for the consoles, they maximized the memory in the game to use every single bit of memory on the console that they possibly could. They maxed out the console memory so much so that there wasn't a single extra kilobyte of space in the memory to be able to implement holstering your gun.
That's so weird.
Yeah, they didn't have any more room to even add that one extra little feature. So that's why your gun was always out.
I don't know if that's like laziness or like they just went the extra mile to really include as much as they could.
Yeah, it was that maximized. From what I understand, it was maximized to the point where when you were in combat, in order to have every single feature of combat that they wanted to have in there, they couldn't squeeze out any more details. They basically realized that, like, okay, well, if we take the holster of the gun out, then we can eke out this much more memory, which would allow us to add this other feature for this other ability that you could use or whatever. they just squeezed out every little bit. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, they really worked with what they had. They played the cards they were dealt, right? This Expanded Galaxy mod also changes some things in terms of timing. So you can now select timings of DLC missions like Eden Prime, Omega, Citadel, Leviathan, and you can select the timings of the 6 in 7 missions and when Trainer will announce them. So I always kind of hated how those missions came right when I was doing something else, and I felt like if I didn't do them right away, they were going to expire and then I couldn't do them. And since I'm a completionist, that really bugs me. Like not being able, you know, leaving a stone unturned. So this mod changes the way that you can really time things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. All
right. And it also, we would be remiss without mentioning the Normandy immersive overhaul that it includes in the mod. So basically there's five main different additions features of the Normandy Immersive Overhaul. It has a new and evolving crew. You can set your XO Marine officer. You can decide the number of Marines, medics, engineers, and other crew members on the Normandy. There's a customizable Normandy now. You can add a firing range. You can add vehicles, other equipment, all controlled from the ship's new manifest. There's cabin romances. You can get an interactive picture from Shepard's love interest and invite them up to spend time with Shepard in the cabin whenever. Like, it doesn't have to be at a certain point in the game.
Well, weird, you know, like maybe like real relationships.
Yeah, hey, baby, I know that we're in the middle of a mission, but why don't we just go up to my quarters real quick?
Sovereign asks, can you add a Tim Hortons?
I wish we could add a Timmy Hose. That would be nice. But no Tim Hortons aboard the Normandy. No. Although Shepard acts like someone who eats at Tim Hortons very often with his lack of running ability, I don't think that there's one there. There's also some Mass Effect 2 weapon imports, so you can bring on some weapons from Mass Effect 2 and play them in Mass Effect 3. And you can actually reach level 10 on the first playthrough if you imported. And there's also some immersive improvements, you know, restored conversations between Ashley and Liara, unblocked windows, new cabin models. And there's just a lot more stuff. I mean, like, I'm looking at this page and it's like so expansive, right? Like, so the expanded galaxy mod is aptly named. There's mm-hmm. so much stuff here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is cool stuff. So, There's one more. You've got kind of this honorable mention here.
Yes.
And yeah, I love my fashion accessories in games. I have this weird, I always want to look awesome in games thing. My wife, on the other hand, is like, I don't care. She collects everything in games and then makes fun of me because I always want to play dress up in games, which is kind of funny because you would think, I don't know, just like stereotypically, you would assume that it would be the opposite, but it's not. So I play Fashion Souls, you know, or Fashion Scrolls or whatever with my characters. I've got them all dressed up in cool ways and stuff. And so this is like totally up my alley. So what are we talking about here?
So this one's the Expanded Galaxy Mod Armors for Legendary Edition 2 and 3. I'm very much with you on this, Tom. I love
fashion
all the
effect.
Different armors and, yes, fashion effect. And all the different things that you can bring onto the table with this mod. You can actually wear armors from Mass Effect Andromeda and the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer in the campaign now. Previously, there were a lot of armors and outfits that were not available in the single player at all. But now, thanks to the wonderful work of some very dedicated modders, you can. There's tons and tons and tons of new outfits, not just armors, but casual outfits too. And that doesn't just go for Shepard, that also goes for the squad mates. They have like over 30 new casual outfits for the squad mates to wear in non-combat environments. The expanded Shepard armory is also along the same lines. It's an honorable mention. It's a required mod for the EGM armors for Legendary Edition 2 and 3. The expanded Shepard armory, though, it allows the same exact thing, wearing Mass Effect 2 armors in 3, except it goes in reverse. So if you ever wanted to use Mass Effect 3 armors in Mass Effect 2, you can do that too. There's some uniformity there, which actually would have been nice if they implemented that from the very get-go, you know, kind of a unified armory system.
Yeah, you would think they would carry over some of this stuff and just add to it.
Yeah. I guess I get it. I would love one day if I saw that the modders had included an, you know, all-encompassing expanded galaxy mod armors for the entire trilogy. So you could wear all of the Mass Effect 3 stuff in Mass Effect 1. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool. So, man, I'm going to have to dig into some of the stuff on my new playthrough. I think I might go to that one first and just like have all the cool armors, because it's part of just the looting aspect of this stuff, you know, like. You always want to get like the cool new gun, and half the time I don't care about the stats as long as it just freaking looks cool, you know?
Like, yeah, does it look badass?
Does it then look badass? I'm wearing it. Yeah, do I pull the gun out and feel cool because I'm, you know, do I have a cool outfit? Do I have a cool gun? Do I walk into the room and feel like I'm a total badass Shepard when I'm going to go shake down, you know, the bad guy on the other side of the room? Yeah, like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
that makes maybe you're role playing a super weenie hut junior shepherd. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, do I want to look really dumb? Is there really dumb looking armor? Maybe I want that. You know, give me the options. Give me all the options to role play this however I want, because of just for whatever reason, you know, that's what I'm down for. So
yeah,
awesome stuff. Very, very cool. Go check all of these out. I will put links for these in the show notes, so you're able to check out all of these directly. You can also just search the names that we've brought up during the show on Nexus Mods. So the website for that is nexusmods.com, and you'll probably want to log in and create an account so you can keep track of all the mods you download. And as with any mods you're loading into a system, follow the instructions the way they've set them up. Make sure that you are following them to the letter, and make sure that you back up your files before you do so. So it's always a good idea to, again, follow the instructions, be careful with stuff, and back up, especially your save files, so you don't mess anything up. So warning. We don't want you writing us in and saying, I tried out your mods and you screwed up my save file. I lost everything. You know, not our fault. You follow the instructions, be careful. This is on you guys. All right. Let's move on to the middle of the show. We're going to thank our patrons, and then we'll be back with some special guests for the second half of our episode. So stay tuned.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
Have you ever wondered how deep the Elder Scrolls lore rabbit hole goes? Have you got a grasp of the basics and want to find out more about the universe? Written in Uncertainty is here to help you. We'll be mixing in philosophy, theology, and whatever other theory is useful with Elder Scrolls texts to untangle some of the biggest questions in the series, like what are Dragonbreaks, how does Chim work, where did the Dwemer go, and more. Check us out at writteninuncertainty.com or find Written in Uncertainty on any podcatcher. Thanks for listening, and catch you later in the Grey Maybe of Tamriel.
All right. This is the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for being freaking awesome. And get this, we have four Shepherd tier patrons to thank. We've got Blaze Freezer, Pipe Man Sovereign, and Stagger and Stumble. Thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are awesome. I would have some winners to announce this week, but I haven't heard back from our mysterious Shadow Broker yet on our winners. Our mysterious Shadow Broker has been a bit busy this weekend with something else going on. So I know that all the submissions are in, submissions are closed, and we will let you know who the winner is on Discord as soon as I hear back and we get word from the Shadow Broker. So sorry to be a little bit mysterious about who the winners are, but I will let you know back as soon as possible. I have sent the Shadow Broker messages, and you know, Shadow Broker's busy with things across the galaxy that I don't know what's going on out there, but as soon as we know, we will post winners on the Discord. We will let you guys know who the winners are, and they can join us next weekend. So stay tuned for that. And thank you to all of our patrons, all 42 of you who help support the show every week. If we've done anything to help you get through your workday, your workout, your commute to work, or making costumes for your pets for Halloween, then please consider going to patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast and checking out all the different tiers, including tier 3 that you can sign up. You get ad-free episodes early, and stickers that come out for patrons. And they're awesome. If you sign up for tier 4, you can join us next week when we're going to be talking about our favorite quests to go on to, you know, hang out with our potential love interests. So that's going to be fun. Companion quests. So that's going to be super fun. I'm looking forward to it. And we will be back just in a second, because I have to share with our patrons that are joining us today our little invite to get them on the stream. So here you go, guys. Here's our little message with their invite. They're going to be popping in with us. And we have any other news we want to share, Sam?
Well, we do have the review from Po' Boy Rich that I don't think we have read yet.
Okay. Do you want to read it? You want to call this out?
Sure. Yeah, I can bring it up right now.
Actually, we have one that just came in right now also. Actually, I got them up right here. We have one that came in today. So we've got two reviews. I've got it up. Why don't I just do it real quick? So we've got...
Sure, go for it.
Po' Boy Rich. Po' Boys are delicious, by the way. From the United States, who wrote in and said, great podcast, questionable morality. Five stars. I just finished episode 17. Love the podcast. It's great. Well worth the listen. But no one understands that destroy is a renegade choice. The genocide of synthetic life is pretty evil, whereas sacrificing yourself to save everybody with the control option is totally paragon. Discuss.
No. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, Po' Boy Rich has just as valid of an opinion about the game as I do. But my opinion is that it is regrettable that Po' Boy Rich has become indoctrinated.
Oh, no. So. Them's fighting words. You guys are going to hash this out on the Robots Radio Discord. So, Po' Boy Rich, welcome to the Discord. Come join us and let's hash that out on there. And you're more than welcome to join us on a future episode of the Patreon chat to hash this out in more detail, because we would love to hear some of your justification for this, because this, of course, is a hot topic and everybody's going to want to jump in and argue their points. Friendly argument. Let me point out. But thank you for the review and for the five stars. We really do appreciate it. And then we've got one from Dala Dala 63, and that's actually spelled with an A, Dala Dala, from the US, who wrote in just today. Phenomenal work, five stars. These guys do a great job, not just with Mass Effect lore, but as an overall hosts and commentary, bringing in parallels to real life, banter back and forth, and generally being fun to listen to. The Mass Effect lore is then top notch. Great information that most people don't catch on their playthroughs, and a great love for the game. It's great to listen to people that enjoy the game as much as I do and get into the lore significantly more than I do. They have gotten me through a lot of drive and work time that otherwise would be dull. Great work and a great podcast with two great hosts. If you don't enjoy or can't understand the parallels to real life and other issues we see on a daily basis, maybe they aren't for you. But I hear head in the sand is a good way to go. Smiley face. I do sincerely thank them for the parallels to real life and banter back and forth. Well, thank you, Dala Dala. I'm glad you appreciate those, and I'm glad. Thank you for all the compliments on here too. This is very flattering. My head has grown three sizes larger, and I will now have a hard time fitting through doorways. So, thank you for that. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the time you take to leave us rating and reviews. It really, really does help people with finding the show and finding out what they like about the show, and also, you know, feeding our egos. So thank you for that as well. All right. We've got some patrons to bring into our chat. So we'll be back in just a second with them. And don't go anywhere. Here we go.
Spit it out. Or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
All right, let's get the screen set up. Patrons, welcome in. How you doing?
Hey.
I'm great.
Hey, we've got Psyche and Genesis here.
Hey, how's it going, Psyche? How's it going, Genesis?
How are you guys? Good. Welcome. I think I've got the screen looking pretty good here. So, man, you guys, this is kind of fun because you have the two of us all to yourselves. So, welcome back. We're talking about companion missions, right?
Yeah. So the topic I believe patrons decided on for this week's patron chat was, what is your favorite squad mate's loyalty mission and why? So, Psyche or Genesis, do either of you have a dying itch to go first?
Ladies first. Gentleman thing to do.
All right. Yeah. So my favorite loyalty mission was Grunt. Right. I had so much fun because when you're communicating with Krogan's going for even like the not renegade option, but like the down option, they generally respect that more. And so you get to have more interaction and they, I don't know, you get to headbutt a Krogan and it's the best thing.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Just as a refresher for everyone, Grunt's loyalty mission is about finding his Krant. It's really a rite of passage for Grunt, a Bildungsroman, if you will, where Grunt is a tank-bred Krogan, and because of that, he's not quite sure how to approach what would be Krogan puberty. And so when we help Grunt out along with that, he needs to find his group, his Krant. So we take Grunt to Tuchanka, and of course, if you played Mass Effect 1 and Rex is alive, Rex is the leader of Clan Erdnot, who more than happily sponsors him because of his association with Shepard. So that's just a little refresher on the Grunt's loyalty mission. And I gotta agree, Genesis, headbutting the Krogan is something else, and it's some spicy flavor that Mass Effect 2 really thrives in.
I'm sorry, I should have said spoiler alert before I started that.
No, it's fine, it's fine. I mean, this is a lore show, so everything's going to be a spoiler on some level, right? Can you imagine what it would feel like to headbutt a Krogan?
Ouch. Their head plate looks pretty hard. Looks like bone.
Yeah, I bet it would feel like hitting a rock. You know, like going up to like the side of a mountain and just like hitting your head on the side of a mountain.
That would explain a lot of Shepard's decisions afterward. Sorry, but go on.
Genesis. No, I also like the fact that that's the first time that we get to see a female Krogan is when you start that mission. So that's also in there that I like.
Yeah, yeah. And with them being so rare, that's a... It's a rare
right
sight.
And I'm just curious, Genesis, is Grunt one of your favorite squad mates as well, or did you just like his loyalty mission a lot?
I do like him as a squad mate. It depends on what playthrough I'm going on, whether or not he's one of my main companions, because if my Shepard isn't somebody who can unlock... that's one. All the games are mashing in my head together right
it
now.
It happens. It happens. I mean, you're talking with a guy who does multiple lore casts for multiple RPGs, and they, yeah, they all start to blur together. I've had multiple shows where I've gone, wait a minute, was that this playthrough where it did this way? Or yes. Mm-hmm. I totally understand. But
I tend to bring Garrus with me on every mission, and then whoever I think is going to fit the mission best for dialogue is going to be my second companion.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to play through. Of course, I'm biased because I played through the same way. I bring one story flavor companion and one practical gameplay companion with mm-hmm. me. And that almost always ends up being Garrus plus one. So I used to bring my love interest in every mission with me. And then I figured I can't pass up Garrus like that, because more often than not, Garrus was not my love interest. But speaking of Garrus, I know that his loyalty mission is a favorite of many people, but something tells me that may be the case with Syke. Am I right?
He makes my top three, absolutely. But my absolute favorite is Tally's loyalty mission. You get that rich addition of Quarian lore attached to the game overall. And then you help Tally through this, you know, really emotional time of her life, right? You know, she's been accused of the worst crime in Quarian history. And she's dealing with, you know, death of a parental figure. It's a whole thing. That's why it makes it my top, like my absolute favorite. Garrus comes in second for that.
I totally get that as well. You know, with Tally's loyalty mission, on my last playthrough, I was trying to have my broship romance Tally. And it just so happens that if you're trying to romance Tally and you don't lie for her to the Admiralty board in her mission, then guess what? The deal's off. You're not getting any. And that romance is not going to follow through. So it really pins your morality against your loyalty, which is a cool I guess, a balancing act that you don't really see with many games, where I was trying to play an authentic character, right? An authentic character who didn't ever want to lie, even at the expense of someone he really cared about. So he ended up losing Tally's loyalty. And of course, that can result in Tally's death or other characters' death in the final mission in Mass Effect 2. I was lucky enough that it didn't. But Syke, have you always gone through and secured Tally's loyalty?
I have. I have absolutely no qualms telling that Admiralty board where to shove something.
He's just a dirty liar.
Right up there, Cloaca. Yeah.
Those three are, like, you know, they're caricatures, of course, of some of the worst aspects of any particular politicians. And so having that on top of just the idea of, okay, look, I can't just tell you that your father is the worst Quarian ever. It puts you in a hard spot, but at the same time, it's just like, you guys, you're just using her as a pawn, and I personally cannot allow you to just use my friend like that, so jog on.
Tally's also one of the rare ones.
As a refresher for everyone who may not have played Tally's loyalty mission, because some people don't actually do loyalty missions. I know it's unbelievable. but for everyone who may not have played her loyalty mission, basically we find out that Tally's father was experimenting on Geth and took it a step too far, enabled some Geth who effectively killed a bunch of Quarians on the Migrant Fleet. This is considered treason by the Migrant Fleet's leadership and is the highest offense possible that a Quarian could commit. So it's a huge stain on Tally's family's honor. She's embarrassed by it, of course, when she finds out that it's true. And so the loyalty aspect comes down to basically Shepard playing lawyer in court for her. And you can decide to play the devil's advocate, or you can decide to have like a neutral type of approach to it where you still secure her loyalty but kind of skirt around the topic, or you can go, in my opinion, what is considered paragon but oddly renegade, where you choose to tell the truth and piss off your squad mate in the process. Syke, about Genesis's favorite loyalty mission, have you ever not secured Grunt's loyalty?
No, I am too much of a completionist to never not complete any loyalty mission. And there is something to be said for taking a giant nuke to a giant death worm. So, you know, that is fun. But yeah, I'm too much of a completionist to not complete anything that comes through that game.
See, this is always my problem, is that I'm a stickler for whatever the morality is that I feel like I'm siding with in the moment, rather than sticking to the person. Like, I will generally side with the morality over what I think the person wants me to do, which means I will screw over a loyalty mission. And so many times I will mess up a relationship because I'm sticking to what I think is the right thing to do or what needs to be done in the moment rather than what the person would want me to do. So in a playthrough, like, I'll get through a playthrough and be like, well, I got no romances this time.
There should be an achievement for that. Celibate.
So, yeah, like, it happens. It happens. Or I'll get like a romance option to work out. And like, wonder why didn't anybody else want to be with me? It's because I was trying to be too good, or at least I was putting the galaxy ahead of like Shepard's personal wants or whatever, you know, like that kind of crap. And that's right. I'll end up screwing over my own relationships because of it.
The rest of the crew met in the bar area and was like, you know, I agree with the mission and everything, but Shepard's kind of a dick.
Right. Yeah. I will totally play through in those ways. And it just like screws over all my relationships.
Genesis, have you ever played through like a really, really hardliner Shepard playthrough before?
I tried and then couldn't do it. Like, I was like, okay, my first time playing Bro Shep, I'm going to go full renegade. And no, it just didn't work out. I couldn't, as a person, make some of those horrible choices.
Some of them are really, like, not even renegade. They're just, like, egregious. It's like, who would do that ever?
I feel like the closer you are to, like, hardline Paragon or hardline Renegade makes it harder to manage some of the relationships. Because sometimes the relationships require you to make grayer decisions. And you can't stick with one or the other all the time and make everybody happy. Or make a specific person happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you stay too firmly to the edges, it pisses everybody off.
So, question for both Genesis and Psyche. Whoever wants to answer first can go. What is your least favorite squadmate mission? Squadmate loyalty mission. And why is it your least favorite one?
I would assume that both of us would agree that it's Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
wait, say that again, because that was good. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, there was a hint of judgment in there, just a hint.
It's so horrible what on makes so it many bad? Levels.
Well, what makes it so bad?
Okay, in my opinion, it's really... okay, Jacob as a character is like your basic gun, kind of like you trade him out as fast as you possibly can, right? And then his loyalty mission comes up and it's this daddy issue, but oh, I'm totally over my dad issues, so it doesn't really matter. And then, okay, you find out his, spoiler alert, his dad's been playing, you know, harem on a desert planet for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of bad, bro. I could send you to jail, or here's a gun. You take your pick. It doesn't have quite that punch that some of the other characters, other loyalty missions bring to the table. He's just there. And that's the best you can say about it, in my opinion.
I remember getting to that and being like, hey, bro, this sucks, huh? Like, just kind of feeling like, yeah, this sucks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just like that's kind of the reaction, right? You're like, sucks.
I think for Jacob's character development, it's definitely something that he needs to go through, because, you know, that's always like in the back of his mind. If my parents were missing for 10 years, I would definitely want to know, especially if I feel like I'm going to go on a suicidal mission. I might not come back from it. I would want to know what legacy I'm leaving behind. Are my parents still out there? Do I possibly have half siblings? Anything like that. So I get that. But then you get on his mission and his dad is a complete expletive. You know, holding women hostage for 10 years. 10 years. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Hey, bro, this sucks.
Yeah, his dad's maniacal.
Dad's kind of a douchebag, right?
So it's so twisted. And in, you know, weirdly enough, it would make like a good Twilight Zone episode. You know, at least maybe that's my opinion. You know, like the twist comes at the very end. And instead of the viewer being an omniscient, you know, space commander who happens upon the planet, you know, you're one of the people who's losing their minds because they were being fed the native, you know, flora that is poisonous. So, yeah, that one is... There's not a lot of moral gray area. You know, when you play that, it's kind of like, okay, we are all in agreement that this guy is really fucked up, right? Okay, yeah. let's move on. But yeah, it is like a hurdle that Jacob needs to surmount in order to develop his character. I'm really like troubled saying that because it's not like he's an incredibly static guy. Or an incredibly dynamic guy. His character is actually rather static.
Throw a character. Create a character.
Yeah. Something like that.
Birth a character.
Tom, do you have a favorite, least favorite squadmate loyalty mission?
You know, I have such a hard time ranking things as favorites. I've talked about this on other shows. When people ask me about favorites and stuff, I have a really hard time ranking stuff. Like, it's more like there's things I like for different reasons and things I don't like for different reasons. I'm trying to think through them all. It's been a while since I played all of the loyalty stuff. The one you do with the lizard guy. What was his name?
Morden.
Morden.
No, or not Thane.
Thane. I like that one.
Yeah,
that one stands
Thane's
out.
Thane's son trying to follow in his footsteps by becoming an assassin as well, and you have to stop him.
I thought that was interesting.
That was a pretty impactful one.
Yeah, because of the whole maybe because I'm a dad thing. And I found Thane. I mean, Thane was the one I ended up romancing on my first Mass Effect 2 playthrough. And I found that to be engaging. His whole, like, he was kind of a mysterious character, but then you have the whole, you find out like he's a dad, and then the whole relationship with the kid, and then trying not to have the kid be like the dad, like that whole aspect of it, I found really interesting. So
yeah,
I like,
you know,
that.
If I had to pick one that I really didn't like, I'd have to say Zaid's, because Zaid's loyalty mission was really, I don't know, run of the mill. It was a mission in which you basically just exact revenge. Like, he's on a revenge path, and he's just willing to blow anything and everything up on the way to revenge. And Shepard can step in and be like, hey, man, that's messed up. Let's not kill innocent people just because you're mad. And then, like, if you do that, you might lose his loyalty, but you might save it there at the end. But, you know, I don't know. That one just felt like it didn't really have large lore implications after the loyalty mission of it. Whereas Tally's is like massive. The lore implications of that one are huge. I think that Garrus, you know, I think the writers could have done a better job with Garrus's loyalty mission. For such a huge character and for such a fan favorite, which by Mass Effect 2 they were well aware of, it felt like they dropped the ball with Garrus's loyalty mission, because it was like, okay, let's set up a hit job for this guy that totally screwed Garrus and his squad over on Omega. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Shepard can basically say, hey, like, my buddy's going to snipe you, so you should probably move. And, right. and if he says that, like, it's like, okay, you might lose Garrus's loyalty. Or you can just let Garrus follow through with murder.
I remember feeling like that one was kind of, I don't know, anticlimactic.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
Like feeling like, oh, this is going to be cool. And then just like, when it just kind of plays out the way it does. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you guys feel that way?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with like my decision for which way I'm going to let Garrus go on that is which way I let him go on his Mass Effect 1 loyalty mission of killing Dr. Hart or not. So if I let Garrus kill Dr. Hart, then I'll let Garrus kill his old friend.
I always go with I'm always a, you know, truth and justice kind of person and kind of believe in those things. So I always kind of like spur his better nature, and you can still secure his loyalty even letting Sidonis live. You know, it takes a high Paragon or something to make pull that off. But you know, and he comes across that emotional hurdle. The thing for me is that it kind of retreads the whole thing that you just did in ME1, right? Don't kill these people. You don't kill people to make yourself feel better. He should have learned that lesson the first time, and you have to go through it again in ME2. It's just...
Right.
It could have been a better mission.
Right. Yeah, revenge isn't really the solution. It never really makes you feel
Carl,
better.
Carl, you can't kill people. Yeah. Yeah. We got Turians with hats. That's an obscure reference.
Thinking through these, I think I'm with Psyche here that the Jacob mission was just kind of like, by the time, I think it was one of the last ones I did, and then by the time I got to that one, it was just kind of like a, oh crap, I gotta get through this. Like, it was just like one of those where it was just like, okay, I think it was like I did it because I was completing everything, not because I wanted to at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. You know, like when you do a loyalty mission, you want to do it because you want to do it. You want to do it because of the relationship with the character, because you're enjoying the storyline, because you're learning something new. And when I got to that one, I was like, OK, I'll just get through the mission. And then, like, you never want that to be the reason you complete a mission in the game.
I did it for the achievement.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did it because I thought maybe it would go somewhere, and it just kind of doesn't. And you get done with it and you're like, well, that's done. Great. OK, let's move on with the next thing.
Jack's loyalty mission is also pretty high up there on the list for me as favorite ones.
Yeah, so that when I was thinking through my favorites, that was one of the, like, that's probably in my top two or three. Because
Jack's one is a good one about confronting the past.
It helps flesh out her character. You know, like, it justifies her as not just being this, like, edgy character. It all of a sudden gives you justification for, like, who is she? Why is she the way she is? And it creates this, like, interesting understanding of her backstory and what's actually going on with her, which is great. You know, that allows her to be this edgy character with more depth, you know.
And it lets her wear a shirt.
And she gets to wear a shirt. So there's that as well. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm actually with Genesis on this one. It was kind of weird how they forced the fifth element look on Jack from the very beginning.
Yeah. The designers in these games were, you know, from the beginning, the designers in these games were like, let's let all the ladies wear tight fitting armor and really show their butts and their boobs. And then the Jack design came out and everyone was like, what? Like, I remember when Mass Effect 2 came out and they were showing all the characters, and then they showed the character of Jack, and there was, like, even in the games media, there were game reporters that were just like, come on.
Yeah.
So I am all for what Jack is wearing, and I like the fact that they started her that way, because if the naked look was the unlocked, I think that I would have more issues with it. Like, you get to unlock her taking off more clothes.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's true.
That's a really good point.
Right. But it's still, you know, like, can we move past the idea that, like, the design of characters in games are for, like, teenage boys in order to get them to buy more video games? If we're going to have adult things in games, can we let them just be adult things in games? And can we let the majority of characters be, like, regular people who wear regular clothing? And then put the adult things in the games in the appropriate places in the games where adult things would be in games. Maybe that would make more sense. Hearing, you know,
am I hearing you say that you were really sorely missing a racy Caden outfit?
but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to sexualize the women in the game, then sexualize the men in the game. Make the whole game sexual. Yeah. You know, like, but if you're going to have, like, armor, then don't have boob armor. Have armor that actually functions like armor, right? Like, armor historically that women would wear would look very no different than armor that men would wear, because you wouldn't want a divot in the middle of your chest that would move weapons towards the center of your chest. It doesn't make any sense, right? You wouldn't have individual boobs shaped in your armor. It makes no sense for that, right?
Well, I'm not an armor expert, and I also don't have boobs, so.
Yeah, I'm like, I am a boob expert, and I like them separated if they're going to be contained.
But no, you can separate them inside underneath the metal. What I'm saying is the outside of the shape is flat. Does that make sense?
Got it.
Like, inside the clothing, you can separate them, but on the outside of the clothing, and people have, there's been a lot of research that's done into this. Historically, women who had to wear armor, the outside of the outfit would still, like, the idea of wearing armor is that your body should be shaped like a cylinder so that it deflects things around your body.
Brienne of Tarth,
right. Like, there's good armor in some movies, and then there's bad armor in other movies, and games are the same thing. So, you know, like, it doesn't, you know, just like in the real world, not everybody walks around in public wearing sexualized outfits. In fact, the majority of humans don't, but some people do. Why don't we actually have, like, realistic percentages of people in a game that look sexualized, but most people don't? You know, like, let the character of the character define if they choose to wear sexualized clothing or not. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Mm-hmm. Rather than every female in the game looks sexualized and has a model physique. Because that's not realistic.
aside from Jack's shirt debacle, I do like the cyberpunk visor that she gets a lot. Because it's totally cyberpunk. Like, that is 110% cyberpunk that Jack gets this awesome visor with, like, the red lights on it. And I was like, man, Jack really should have had that visor from the get-go.
Yeah.
Sovereign says, I'm still upset there was no Jack outfit for Grunt. What if we had Jack outfits for all the characters?
Jack outfit for Shepard. I can see that mod coming about.
Yeah.
Boy. Yep. And, well, you know, I think that of the people who are interested in the outfits for squad mates, I think the first half of our episode will be particularly pertinent with the expanded galaxy mod. Mm-hmm. But all right. Well, Psych Genesis, do you have any final thoughts about squad mate loyalty missions?
No, I'm good.
I think we covered a lot of ground. I'm happy.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. This has been super fun.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll have the rest of the patrons on with us next week for the full episode. And until then, everybody, it'll be a week until that episode. Hope you guys have a good week. Guys, do you have anything you want to share with us? Anything, any cool projects you're working on or stuff you're doing or ways people can reach out to you? Why don't we jump to Genesis? Genesis, you have anything going on?
I do, but we haven't fully announced it yet, so I don't know.
Okay, so you're holding out on us, so I guess we'll have to wait to find out.
There are big things coming. There are big things coming in my world.
Okay, so we'll wait. We'll wait for that. So stay tuned, friends. And do you want to share ways people can reach out to you, or do you just want to say, like, hey, I'm on the Discord?
I am. I'm on the Robots Radio Discord as Genesis. It's Genesis with a J. And yeah, come chat.
Awesome. Awesome. Psych, what do you got going on?
Yeah. So my local gaming group has agreed to allow me to use them for a tabletop podcast.
Nice.
Yep. We're going to do a Mass Effect tabletop. We're utilizing the Fate system. It's a more narrative driven rather than roles driven kind of thing.
Cool. I like that. I enjoy playing games more like that as well. So that sounds fun.
It's Mass Effect Blue Shift. We are all CSEC officers in that interim time between the battle for the Citadel and the end of the world. And you can find us at @ME_BlueShift on Twitter.
Very cool. Very cool. Sounds like a super fun thing. You know, if you guys are ever interested, there's always the Robots Radio Rocket Club, which I'm sure you know about. So if ever you're interested in, you know, some guidance and wanting to be part of the Robots Radio Network, you can always look me up there or we'd be happy to, you know, bring you on board and work with you if you want. But good luck with that. Otherwise, I hope that's super fun and definitely go check that out, listeners. That sounds like an awesome thing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We should have our first episode November 15th is what I'm hoping for.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, have a super fun time with that. And Seven, you got anything going on you want to share?
Yeah, I don't think that I'll be streaming this week because, as I said, I have a friend in from out of town, but I will be streaming probably come next Sunday. If I can manage streaming before the episode, I will. However, that's a little dicey because although it's Halloween, it's also my girlfriend's birthday next Sunday. So we're going to do what we can between work and other obligations, you know, that come with life. But yeah, I'm going to be trying to stream as soon as possible, and I'll be streaming some Mass Effect. If anyone wants to catch up or follow me, I am at N7 the Legend on Twitch, on Twitter, on pretty much everything, and I'm slowly becoming an audio visual engineer as I work in better and better effects with Streamlabs. So if anyone wants to come and critique my my quality of stream, I am more than happy to take the pointers. So
awesome. Yeah, it's actually, speaking of birthdays, it's my wife's birthday today, so we went out and celebrated and stuff, so happy birthday to her. So that's exciting. I've been streaming every morning during the week over at twitch.tv/robotsradio. Been playing games with everybody in the mornings. And we have an awesome community over there. So shout out to the Robot Squad. You guys are awesome. And just a genuine thank you to everybody who's been showing up in the mornings and hanging out with me. You guys have you've made a noticeable difference in my mood. My wife was like, "You've been a lot happier lately." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been like hanging out with people in the mornings and having a lot of fun. And it's actually making a huge difference. So thank you. And we have a goal that I've set for hitting an entire week with an average viewer number of 25 viewers on our stream. And I know that doesn't sound like a huge number. So if you're a listener to this podcast and you just want to hang out and help me hit this goal. And if you're like working in the mornings, I start at like 8:30 Eastern in the mornings and we go through like the middle of the day. So the first half of the day, if you're working and you just want to lurk in the background or just kind of be in there and chat with us, you know, whatever. It's I used to do that all the time when I worked in an office. I didn't have a stream up on my second monitor while I was working, and it just kind of pop in every so often and chat and kind of listen in the background. It's a great community, lots of awesome people, and I will be giving away a video game of your choice to a winner when we hit an average for a week of 25 viewers. So you might want to pick, if you want to pick up Legendary Edition, you haven't had a chance to get it yet, or some other big game that's coming out this fall, you might be one of the winners. So come help us reach that goal and maybe you'll get a chance to win. So lots of awesome stuff going on in the stream. It's the same channel that we broadcast this live at. And I just can't say thank you enough to everybody who's been coming and hanging out with me. We've been growing numbers every week and it's just been super, super fun, having an awesome time. So that's what I got going on. And of course, all the other shows at robotsradio.net if you're looking for other shows. So check out that stuff. And that's it. So until next time, everybody, thank you to our patrons. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. We'll be back next week with the rest of our patrons. And until then, stay safe out there in the galaxy. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there. And, you know, good luck with your loyalty missions. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Jersey's Here Now Audio Fiction Festival 2020. It's BioShock, the Midnight Series. Based in the dystopian underwater city of Rapture, witness what it was like for civilians from different walks of life before and after Andrew Ryan's city fell. It's a tale of deception, downfall, and survival. Shock, the Midnight Series, a podcast by Preston Harden. Listen on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a world where solid-state electronics and vacuum tubes are still meta, people never stop loving atomic-powered everything. A chosen 500 stepped inside a subterranean vault to be spared the nuclear horror of the inevitable Great War. 25 years later, they emerge after the fallout settles to retake Appalachia. Among them, two former rivals whose blood feud will tear West Virginia apart and their epic struggle for survival. Chad, a vault bro who has a strength of 15, an intelligence of 2, and is a complete wasteland dickhead. Simon, a complicated anti-hero who chooses light and hope, but accidentally becomes a cannibal, and wakes up naked and afraid with a Scorch Beast Queen after a date goes terribly wrong. What? I mean, it's a wild wasteland, right? This dark humor radio drama will have you driving off the road and crawling out from under the fallout. Two men, one wasteland, and so many nukes. Chad, a Fallout 7. 76 podcast, rated R. Now streaming on your holotape player podcasty thing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.